Hi everybody, Jackie Grant here from Break Free Consultancy and welcome to another Connect and Grow podcast. So this podcast is all about how important it is to set your business up with solid foundation, and I'm going to go into a little bit more of a focus on why policies and procedures are really important. So when you decide to set up your business to work in particular the NDIS or the disability sector, it's really important to understand a couple of different things. Firstly, when you get your Australian business number as an independent, you are a business. I just really want to be clear on that. The number of times a day I hear from people to say, I'm independent, I'm not a business, Jackie. The NDIS code of conduct doesn't apply to me. The Australian consumer law, that's for businesses, that doesn't apply to me. The other thing I hear quite commonly is the legislation and standards, so the Disability Services and Inclusion Act, if they actually know what that is, that doesn't apply to me either because I am not a business, I am an independent. So let's get really clear. You have an Australian business number, you are a business. So you do have to abide by the legislation standards and to a degree Australian consumer law because you are a business. You have to answer to the ATO. as well, because you are a business. It's your business structure that is different from an independent to a company and a partnership, and I'm not going to go into those today. That's not what this is about. But just let's be really clear. If you're an independent or a sole trader, you have an ABN, Australian business number, you are a business. Just want to bring that one on home. Okay, so as a business, and I've touched on it, you have certain legal, financial, and moral, ethical responsibilities. Now, in and wrapped around that is your duty of care. It is your risk management, your incident management, your feedback. How do you get feedback? How do you run your business? These are all your business foundations. And there's also then your marketing, your financials. So how do you set it up? How do you pay for things that you may or may require? How do you invoice? So how do you get paid? And then if you're paying staff, your requirements and duties to those people as well. So policies and procedures and your documents or your forms form part of your business structure and foundation. So, for example, if you want to work with somebody that is a person with an NDIS plan, then there are certain things that you should follow. So you do require to follow the NDIS code of conduct. So if you haven't read it, maybe take a look at that. That recently changed. And it changed because the Disability Services and Inclusion Act of 2023 changed. So let's just touch on that for a second. Being a business owner and working in the disability sector, the Disability Services and Inclusion Act, which is legislation, does apply to you. It doesn't matter whether your NDIS registered or not. It actually applies to you, the business. It is over and above what the NDIS require of you as a business owner. So you have a responsibility to understand that, because in amongst that is incident management's required, complaints is required, code of conduct is required, and things like that. Then in addition to that is the NDIS code of conduct and the NDIS guidelines, whether you're registered or not. There's certain things that impact you. Now, you have your policies and procedures in place which talk about how you, the business, deliver the service to the person, so the recipient of that service. Things like your service agreement, cancellation of services. So what time frame do they have to cancel the service before you will charge them? How much are you going to charge the person per hour? Now, the NDIS has a price guide or price arrangement, and it is a maximum at the moment. On the 26th of April 2024, I believe that is $65.17 for a support worker. Monday to Friday, I think it's 6 till 8 p.m. So, and then the prices vary from there. But that doesn't mean you have to charge that, okay? And one of the things to be very mindful of when we are talking about setting up that service agreement and that hourly rate is having a really honest conversation with the person receiving the services or their person that is nominated to speak on their behalf. And in your service agreement, you can put a quote for services and you can have these, you know, that it's subject to change, whatever conditions you want to have in it. And this forms part of your onboarding process on how you actually onboard somebody into your service is communication. And there's a few other steps that you could use as well. So when you're having that initial conversation and you're setting up this service agreement with the person, I'd like you to remember that this, and it doesn't matter whether you're an allied health professional, whether you're a counsellor, whether you're a gardener, a cleaner, you're going to do a similar sort of thing, right? It's just going to vary a little bit. But the person with the plan knows that in their, say, core funding is X amount of money. Now, you should not ask them how much it is because it's really none of your business. But what you do in providing your quote for services is say, okay, so I'm going to charge you $60 an hour. And you'd like me to come 20 hours a week. So this is how much this is going to cost you. At $60 an hour for 20 hours a week, this is how much it's going to cost you. And you give them that quote, and then it's really important that they understand that if they choose not to use the NDIS funding, that then becomes a civil matter. So that then becomes something that they may have to pay out of their own pocket or their nominated person. So these are discussions that are really important to have, because what we are seeing at this moment in time is that a lot of people with an NDIS plan have run out of funding completely because, and some of them, their circumstances have changed. Some of them have run out because they had more hours of support than what they were really funded for, because no one sat down to work out their plan properly with them. Or some of them have just made an informed decision to go on lots of retreats and use STA a lot, which is their choice. However, they don't have support for every day and they've run out of support. And I've hearing from people with NDIS plans that are running out of funding 3 to 6 months into their plan, and they're going to, and the wait at the moment for plan reviews, even for the urgent cases, we're seeing people wait 5-6 months to get that review of their change of circumstances. Now, the NDIS often say that if you run out of funding early, it's not necessarily a change of circumstances. It needs to be assessed. And this is where you need to, if you are listening to this as the person with a plan, if you run out of funding, you really need to liaise with your local area coordinator, your support coordinator, your delegate or planner. You need to be contacting somebody there that can guide you through those steps. If you are the provider and the person has run out of funding, and in your policies and procedures, you have to work out what's going to happen if you're not paid. This is part of your business structure. Okay, can you see how that all sort of blends in together? So you have policies and procedures that support and help you to guide and go, what I do next? Because what I see is a lot of people have an incident that occurs or they don't get paid, and the first place they jump onto is a social media group. It says, hey guys, I haven't been paid, and the participants now, had this and requires more support. And then I got a letter from the NDIS asking me to, you know, what is my process about this? And they're asking this in a social media group, and then they're getting 50 million different answers, not quite 50 million, but you know what I mean. If you've ever been in these groups, you'll see that there's a lot of different answers. And a lot of people will go, you're owed that money, you need to pursue NDIS for it. But that might not be the case. I mean, you might be owed the money, but that might not be the case that the funding's there. Because what happens is when a person runs out of funding in their plan and they run out of it and their plan's still got 6 months to go, or even longer, I've seen it even longer, there is no funding to pay you from that plan. So if you keep providing a service whilst the person has no money in their plan, thinking that when they get their new plan, you'll be paid. No, that new plan, the money can only come out of that from the dates from that date onwards, if that makes sense. So if the plan, the person's out of money today, the 26th of April, and if you're listening to this on a different date, then take that date. And their new plan doesn't come in until, let's call it November, for example. Hopefully not, but let's just take that for an example. So we've gone from April to November and you keep providing services in May and that. No, when the new plan comes out on, say, the 14th of November, that funding from that can only come out from the 14th of November onwards. Do you see what I'm saying? So anything that happens from the moment they run out of funding until the new plan begins, the new plan does not cover what's previously happened. The payment that occurs in there is either the person's providing services and won't be paid. That's a business decision. The person may ask the person that they're providing the services to pay out of pocket because that could be in their service agreement. But if you've got to have a policy and procedure around this, what happens if this occurs? The same as what happens if there is an incident. If an incident occurs and there's harm to a person and it is serious enough and then there's a complaint or it's lodged with the NDIS, the NDIS are going to contact you to investigate. And one of the first things they will ask is, did you do a risk assessment and could this have been avoided? And you've got to have a policy and procedure around what your business does. So your policies and procedures form the foundation. So at any time that anything happens in your business, you've got a policy and procedure around that. It can be as simple as that, but you've got to take into account the National Disability Practice Standards, which is different to the NDIS practice standards. And that's the level of, like, their categories that a service will fall into. So it could be service delivery, it could be governance, it could be, so the more the administration, it could be participant driven. So there's a few things in that. Now, if you get any of our things, we provide you with the links to that to understand that more. If you haven't read the Disability Services and Inclusion Act and you haven't read the NDIS Code of Conduct, I seriously encourage you to get them and read them. Now, we've got the links and the PDFs to the Disability Services and Inclusion Act of 2023 and the explanations, because there are fines that apply if you're in breach of it. And this is why I share this information, so people can be fully informed. You are working in an industry where there is a lot of confusion right now. We are seeing that with people running out of funding, that then providers aren't paid, then that flows on to they haven't got enough work for their staff, and then staff leaves, and then to grow their business again, and that there's a lot of chaos going on. We're finding people going without support that they were used to having support maybe 4 days a week, and they can't get that support. So we're seeing a lot of different things going on that's causing a lot of stress. And we also know that we're waiting until June 20th to see whether getting the NDIS back on track legislation passes or what happens next. So there are people putting in submissions around that, their thoughts, their submissions with all their information, they're being submitted. We also know that there's a task force working on checking every invoice that's going on as well. So when you have your policies and procedures in place, you would have something that is guiding you on your governance of your business. If your invoices are declined, you need to know what steps you can take next and who do you talk to and what do you do. These are all parts of your business. The task force is also working on the NDIS registration so that whether businesses will all have to follow and flow into a registration process. Now, at the moment, the current registration process is a one-size-fits-all, and we know that services are not one-size-fits-all. So we know that audits are priced extremely high. We also know that a lot of companies out there, you know, will help you with your documents, policies and procedures and help you get through to audit, but we also know they're charging, you know, $10,000 plus the audit. So I'm hearing people, you know, paying $20,000, $30,000 to apply for NDIS registration. But I also know that an independent who's just starting out can't afford any of that, which is why if they do go ahead and say that everybody has to be registered, it really does need to be a tiered system. But we wait to see what the task force decide and feedback to Bill Shorten. I'll be attending an information session to hear what they've heard a little bit later on. I think that's at the end of May. And then hopefully in June, we get to hear a bit more about those decisions as well. So June's going to be a big month. If you're listening to this post-June, you'll probably know a little bit more than me at this moment in time. So the thing is that your policies and procedures indicate what you do as a business. How do you deliver your service? What do you do if an incident occurs? What do you do if someone is being abused? What is your process? And that's what they are. They don't have to be scary. They don't have to be massively complex. But what's important is that you actually have them documented so that if I came to your business and I read them, I would know what you would do if you heard of someone being neglected or abused. Because I've read it in your policy and procedure, so that's what you're going to do. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. So, yes, we have two bundles templated out. One requires you to do quite a bit of work and write it all out yourself with one or two examples. And they're on our website, Break Free Consultancy. It's in the disability sector. And then we have a more comprehensive bundle. We've done it this way to teach you how to do it, because if you know and understand how to set up your policies and procedures properly and then have the supporting documents that you use, so with your incident management one, you would have an incident form, an incident investigation form, and then the steps it takes after you've investigated it, okay? It's part of quality improvement as well for your business. So your business foundation does require you to have the policies and procedures so that you have a solid foundation. Forget about NDIS registration. Forget about anything other than the NDIS Code of Conduct and the Disability Services and Inclusion Act of 2023 and also Australian Consumer Law. But also think about your work that you are your services that you're providing to people and how it's going to be different for every single person. So occasionally you might need to write a specific policy and procedure around a specific scenario or a situation. And it comes back to always knowing what you as a business do and what you as a business provide and how you implement it and what you do if something goes wrong, because things do go wrong. And one of the things that if you are investigated at any point, you may hear or you may get the letter and it will be, well, could this have been avoided? What is your complaints management system? What is your onboarding system? And they come back to the NDIS Code of Conduct as well. So what is your policy and procedure around a certain aspect of the Code of Conduct, NDIS Code of Conduct? If you don't have these answers, it's going to be really hard to answer back to the Quality and Safeguards Commission or to a lawyer or to the insurance company. Like, having your policies and procedures is building a solid foundation for your house or for your business. Not having any policies and procedures, not understanding and following the NDIS Code of Conduct, not understanding the Disability Services and Inclusion Act 2023, and not understanding the aspects of Australian consumer law that apply to your business, can see you slowly sinking. It's like building a house and putting the frame on sand. It can't withstand everything else that you add to it. Whereas if you build your business on a solid foundation and you know what you do when you do things, then it is different. It is giving you that basis, and it doesn't have to be overly complicated, especially for independents. But it helps you to meet your duty of care. It helps you to minimize the risk to yourself and to the person that you work with and to your business. It helps you to know what to do rather than, sure, go to social medias, go to people that you know, but also go to professionals that are able to help and support you in your business. You are running a business. Whether you're a sole trader or not, you have responsibilities. And these responsibilities and an answer that, hey, I asked a question in a Facebook group and they told me, no, I don't need policies and procedures, that's just people wanting money. But yet the Safe Quality and Safeguards Commission is actually asking you what your policy and procedure is on this, or that, you know, something's come up and you've been found in breach of the Disability Services and Inclusion Act of 2023, so you're being asked about that. The answer that, you know, I asked a question in Facebook group and I got told I didn't need this isn't really going to stand up very far. Your policies and procedures are there to help you be really clear, so anyone that walks into your business and reads them knows how you operate. They are your business structure. They've really got not a lot to do with the person that you provide the service to. You know, so I've had people come to me and say, my participant told me I don't need policies and procedures and I don't really need a service agreement. Okay, maybe they don't need you to have that, but you as a business are best to have it. It's best practice. In studying business compliance, you know, one of the biggest things is that to look at the different policies and procedures that the businesses have. Like, you know, one was a bookstore, one was a cafe, one was a person that did lawn mowing. And it said, you know, here's his policies and procedures that he has. Your policies and procedures set out the actions that you take also, the actions you take every day, the actions that you take if something goes wrong. It gives you a level of accountability. So should you have policies and procedures for your business as an independent? Best practice says yes. The NDIS Code of Conduct will talk to you about fair pricing amongst other things. So, yeah, how is your business fitting into that NDIS Code of Conduct? Read the Disability Services and Inclusion Act 2023 and then make your own informed decision. This is your business. At the end of the day, if you have to do a please explain, then if you have no policies and procedures, what will your response be when you are asked, what is your incident management system? What is your complaints management system? What is your code of conduct system? And what is your compliance system? What will your response be? I didn't know. It's not going to get you very far. So please think about how you have your business set up. Think about the people you're providing the services to, and think about your duty of care to yourself, to the people you provide the services to, and everything else. Now, here's my disclaimer, is that it is the 26th of April, 2024. This information is correct at this moment in time. It is also subject to change because as the legislation changes, things will change. So in 2 months' time, some of this information may be very different. And I have already said that. I've already said that there is a proposed new legislation in getting the NDIS back on track. We don't know the outcome of that yet. It hasn't been passed in Parliament. 20th of June is the date that we'll find out more. Once we know more, I will do more podcasts. But from a business perspective, from setting yourself up, best practices, have those documents, policies and procedures in place. Use them to help you be the professional business that you are. Even as an independent, you are still a business and you have an opportunity to meet all your obligations. Remember, you've got your ATO obligations. Your documents, policies and procedures are part of your overall big picture obligations of the services that you provide to the person. And as I said, they don't need to be overly complicated. It's about you. It's about a solid foundation for your business. And it's about understanding the legislation that governs, and there's more than one, by the way. There's, you know, anti-discrimination, there's, you know, human rights. Like, there are so many legislations tied in to working with people in that have a disability. There's a lot that you're running a business that, you know, it's important that you understand. And each of these is your responsibility. And remember that these legislations and standards are way, way, way above what the NDIS required. So you've got to understand what's above the NDIS, but also the NDIS because you're getting paid with funding from the NDIS. And it's also important to have the positive communications and open communications with the people you're providing the services to so that they understand what that you have an understanding of the expectation that they have of you. They have an understanding of the expectation that you have of them, which is around, you know, payment and that. So having those discussions, keeping the lines of communication open. When you set this foundation up, and this is all working on your business, then you can go ahead and do the business, like so work in the business. So you can work on the business with this part, get it all set up, and then go ahead and enjoy the work that you do. Now, in addition to this podcast, we have Connect and Grow magazine. It is available on our website, instant download as an e-magazine. And we publish that every month. It's only like $9 or something. You can subscribe. So by subscribing, it's $99 for the year. So you're actually saving, comes down to $7.50 per month. And we have tips, tools, and strategies on NDIS in that magazine. We also have some amazing other writers and topics such as nutrition, fitness, well-being, mental health, so much more. The magazine is available every month on our website under Connect and Grow magazine. It's also in the store for the magazine. And if you do not have policies and procedures, we have bundles set out that are templated to help teach you how to write them to suit your business. So we're going to educate you along the way as well. Or you can go elsewhere where they'll do it for you. They'll do it all for you. You're looking at a minimum of $8,000 for those businesses. With us, learning how to do it starts at $330. I hope that this has been of some value. It's really important that you set your business up because it is a business. An independent, a sole trader is a business and all the laws apply to you that apply to any other business in the same industry and sector. Okay, so please go ahead, check out our resource section as well for the information on the legislation. As I said, there's a lot to know that we haven't necessarily included on our website, but we don't want to overwhelm you either. Take your time with this. This is really important for you and your business. Thanks for listening and have an amazing day.